Year number 3 is underway here on the Roto Experts in the morning. We'll get to some basketball from last night this hour, including an injury. Deion Waiters, LeBron going for a career high in assists. And we'll break down a 3-game slate for you tonight. I have no money left in my account, so if I play, I have to donate more money if I do that, which sucks. All of last season, I went without donating a dime. Now I donate like a couple of times a week. So that's bad.
You know what's crazy about that, though? The crazy thing is when you look at it and say, oh, you know, do I spend money here? Do I spend money there? You're going to spend it on the draft or you're going to spend it on the Fab budget. Bottom line is if you're going to win, you're going to be successful. You're going to spend it somewhere.
Yep.
So a lot of times you get what you pay for. So go out and spend it.
Yeah. You can do that, too. I just don't want to lose
any money. Can't take it with you.
I know.
What's the great line? I never seen a Brinks truck pull up behind a hearse.
No, it's true. All right, gentlemen. Corey, I know you're a big fan of your ADP desk.
I love the ADP desk. We did that was one of the things that we did to make Fantasy Executive famous.
Like
moderately famous.
So on
to 50-year-old men.
We're going a little deeper today, right? We're sending some love to some other guys. We were fixing tires, so I'll continue to be deep, right? So
this is my first draft, so we not, you know, today I'm just getting started, so you know. A number 101 to 150. Let's go with 113.
Number 113 is Javier Baez, the everything for the Chicago Cubs. And it's an interesting name because will he play each and every day? That is the big question when it comes to Javier Baez. I would ask you what you think, Corey, but it doesn't matter what you think because you're just going through a system today. Whatever the system spits out is what you're doing. So I'll go to Scott Engel.
Go to Engel, but quickly on Baez,
please.
You know what I'm saying?
Please.
Like, yeah, this guy, you know what I'm saying? He's a player, you feel what I mean?
Yeah,
right?
he's a player. He's a player.
You know what I mean? He could be a 20-20 guy, you know what I'm saying? Give you about a 270 batting average. He's a fixture inside of a good lineup. So Javier Baez is a player that if my app spits out, I think I would be inclined to draft. What do you think about that, huh? 2020 guy?
Scott Engel, Javier Baez, what are you thinking?
Javier Baez, you know, he does strike out a lot, but hey, so it's on a lot of people in the majors right now. I think with a bat like that, you know, and the kid's always been on their radar, they have to find a way to get him in there. You know, he's going to hit about 270. Conservatively, you expect 15 home runs. You know, this guy, you know, does have 20-20 potential. So I think there's a lot to like here. You know, at this point, he's already 24 years old. He spent a lot of time in the minors. I don't think he needs any more polishing there. He did spend a considerable amount of time at AAA in 2014 because he really needed to refine his swing. And, you know, there was Swiss cheese all in his bat. But I think he's certainly improved, and the potential is definitely there. Steamer projections are calling him for 259 with 17 home runs and 10 steals.
Scotty is involved right now. Whenever we get the Steamer projection, you know that Scott Engel is all geared up and fired up right now.
Well, fans is a little more aggressive on it, like the fans' projections.
Oh, really?
269 with 18 home runs and 13. I find their projections to be a little bit more aggressive.
Can I ask a question?
Right now, I'm looking at roster resources. Does not look like he's going to be he doesn't look like he's going to be an everyday player. So I think that's something that we have to struggle with. But I'm under the impression that talent and skill always finds a way to get itself into the lineup. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I think eventually it'll shake out where the kid will be able to get his at bats to go ahead and hit those numbers.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's. It's where exactly is Manning going to play him, right? Like, we saw a lot at second base during the playoffs, but they've maneuvered around. We have Kyle Schwarber is coming back. We talked about Kyle Schwarber here a couple weeks ago on the program here. So Javier Baez, Tony, where do we expect him to play most of the time?
I think when you look at Javier Baez, though, he's going to play everywhere, right? He'll get a couple of at-bats here, a couple of at-bats there. And the bottom line is last year, right, he didn't even make the team coming out of the gate, and he still got 450 at-bats. And I agree what Corey says. Talent has to win out, right? He has to win out. I think most of the time he'll be at second base. Ben Zobrist will find himself in the outfield, and I'll go there.
Well, the center field spot is what's weird to me because they lose Dexter Fowler. They decide not to really go expensive to replace him. They bring in John Jay. They have Alberto Mora. And I think, Corey, like, I think they're not going to deal with the Jason Hayward thing. We saw it in the playoffs. Like, they'll bench him. They don't care anymore. They don't care that he's making $200 million. They will send Jason Hayward to the bench, and they'll play Zobrist and Wright and Baez at second base.
And there you go right there. But let me ask you, fellas, this, because, you know, like I said, I'm just getting ready. I'm just getting started. When he does get in the lineup and does start getting consistent playing time, where do you think he bats in the order, Tone?
That he could go anywhere from second to seventh.
Mm-hmm. That's the crazy.
So
that's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
We can't project that where it goes in the order.
And, you know, in the National League, a lot of times that is going to influence a lot of things, like stolen bases, right? This is a guy that can get double-digit stolen bases. If he hits eighth in the batting order and is up before the pitcher, anytime there's two outs, he can't have a stolen base situation.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And Joe Maddon, again, he could bat ninth, right? Addison Russell went out bat ninth. This guy could bat ninth. So
that's true.
It's a total crapshoot where he winds up going here. Tony, why don't you pick a number 113 to 101 to 150 here?
How about 32?
We'll go with 132. That's fine. And
I always go. OJ is my favorite running back in Buffalo Bills history.
You're a sick man.
There's not a lot to choose from.
Francisco Rodriguez, who you mentioned earlier, Corey, is somebody that, well, he's just one of these seemingly safe closers. And we have written Francisco Rodriguez off time and time again. And here he sits, the closer in Detroit. Now, I don't know how good or bad Detroit's going to be, but I know Frankie Rodriguez, Tony, is going to be there at the end of games.
Yeah, this is a guy that I'll end up with a lot of my teams because there's not people don't respect him. People don't like the strikeouts. He's declining. He's a little older. The bottom line is he's going to have that job. He suffered in the second half of last season in Detroit, yet they still have him with that job. I think this is a guy, 30 saves. You pick him late in the draft, and it's all about saves. Don't get too caught up in the strikeouts and getting guys there because, you know, the bottom line is you get 65 innings, and you look at the ERA and WHIP. It's not going to make a dent when you have 1,400 total innings in that. Absolutely, Frankie Rodriguez, the guy that's going to be on up a lot of my teams. I like this
Me
guy.
Me too. I like him also. Corey, you said you liked him as well.
Yeah, this is the guy I'm going to get in on. I think this is a situation where the job is safe. Probably can get you 35, maybe even close to 40 saves. So, and like Tony said, you know, when it comes to these dudes, you want to get strikeouts, and hopefully you get some K upside. Hopefully they don't make you end up having to spend no more fab money. So, and I think that Frankie is one of those guys. Remember that time when he was with the Mets and he was threatening people in the team back in the private areas, like in the family room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was threatening people. This dude don't play.
Scott, you knew that. You had the Mets games with us.
Anytime somebody's threatening people's families in the back in the family room in the team area, that guy has a closer mentality.
he also went after one of the Yankees in the outfield, like during the Subway Series.
Well, he knew. Well, relax that noise right there.
Oh, why? Because he went after a Yankee?
Yeah.
Okay.
But imagine, Scotty, imagine he went after one of Corey's Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
That would change everything.
Well, it depends on where the Yankees are in the standings.
I'll tell you where they're going to be. They're going to be ahead of the Knicks, who I tweeted the worst team I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God. It's like I watched the wrong game last night. It's like Tony talked about like wanting to see the Wizards and the Cavs in the playoffs together.
Yeah.
And you know what a great matchup
series
would be. Yep. Instead, I was watching the Knicks and the Lakers, and that is like the worst Knick performance I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, it was horrible. We'll get more into that at 9:30. More ADP. Scott and I will pick numbers, and we'll talk about these guys. Stick around. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, hanging out. I tried to change the ADP desk, just pick a player. I don't know if it sounds as good, you know?
No, I like it. No, I have a problem with it. It's kind of like a thing that we'll be doing coming up, you know.
Yeah, not regularly.
Not today on Old School Fantasy.
Right. Oh, yeah, I don't want to steal your bets, man.
No, but, you know, it's like an ADP roulette, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, I like that. See, that's better. ADP roulette,
you know what I mean?
Like
so.
That.
You know, because we got that thing over there. That,
yeah.
Where we can spin.
Like a lottery thing.
Yeah, we can put what we could do is
we could put numbers on the
rubber duckies and spin it and then pop one out and do it like, we're doing a show meeting right here live on the air.
So, okay, so true story. So we have this Saturday, hanging out with my buddies.
Oh, I thought we had to work.
No, we don't have to work. No, it's my birthday, man. We don't work. My birthday.
Oh, it's right. How?
Saturday, yeah.
Are you approaching 30?
I'm not there yet.
Justin Fensterman, our buddy, turned 30.
I like Fensterman.
Turned 30 years old today.
Happy birthday, Fens.
Yeah, there you go right there.
Happy birthday, my man. So we got the lottery thing here,
right? Gained some weight.
We got the lottery thing here. And I told my buddies, like, listen, we can do our lottery this Saturday. And for our fantasy baseball draft.
Okay.
I told him we got this thing. Like, we should use it. We're like, yeah, we could use it. Like, I could borrow it. But I don't want to take this big-ass thing.
No, you can't
bring it where
that.
I'm going and bring it back. I'm not doing that. Like, they want to come here. They want to come here. We could do it and then go. But no, that's
too lazy. Somebody buy one and bring it to the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the move. You buy it on Amazon. How much could it cost, right?
But
the problem is, I need it twice a year.
Yeah, I know.
I literally need it twice a year.
It sucks. Well, just put the names in there. Put it in a hat then. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, you're right.
Let's put it in a hat. Do it that way. Yeah. Oh, boy. How about that?
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm getting
so, but we can definitely use that. We'll number these things. We'll do some ADP stuff.
Listen, the Super Bowl was just
I know.
It was just Sunday. We still got plenty of time. You know what I'm saying? Opening day is coming up.
World Baseball Classic, though, coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get pumped!
You think this is a thing, the world based, like,
it's clearly a thing.
Yeah, but do you think it's for what we do, for fantasy purposes, you know what I'm saying? Do we get a look at guys? Can you take anything from the WBC and apply it to your draft?
So we talk about this every 3 years, guys, and like, do we take it, like, do we like players in it? Do we not like players in it? Where are we with it? Scotty, WBC is coming up. I know we've talked about this before, but how much does it matter to you?
I'll just say one thing. Andy Chavez was hitting home runs in the WBC.
He's also making great catches. It didn't count.
No, but I'm saying I don't take anything out of it. I don't.
Tony, what about you?
I think it's very similar to spring training, right? So you get on a stage, the players go out there, and certain guys that are coming back from injuries, you're going to look to see how they play. And guys that had off years, like Chris Archer, will be a big guy for the United States team that people will be looking to rebound, and he'll go up draft boards if he pitches well.
But should he go up draft boards? Because they get extra innings on Chris Archer. He's pitching harder earlier. Like, I don't know if I want that to happen.
I think there's a lot of people that agree with you. I think there's a lot of people that say they're not going to take any pitches there. I think it's a mistake, but I don't know. I mean, we don't have enough data that can say, oh, we found out, you know, in the first three times that we've had the World Baseball Classic, that two pitchers each season suffer arm injuries during the year. There's just not enough data.
Jerry Krasnick has a report, Scotty. What's going to make me happier than anything? That Jerry Krasnick's going to report.
Makes you happier than anything?
Yes, a baseball reporter.
Probably something involving the Yankees, maybe about Bryce Harper coming to the
Yankees. No. Come on, we're not there yet. But it is involving the Yankees, you're correct.
Yeah.
The Yankees are keeping tabs on Chris Carter!
The Yankees are keeping tabs
on Chris Carter and have had discussions with his rep! Yeah!
All I will say is it's going to be very windy if you're sitting along the first base line.
But he's going to hit so many home runs. This is great.
He's also going to strike out 900 times.
But he's not going to play every day. He's going to pitch, handle, hit home runs.
Something to give something. You know what I'm saying?
Man, Chris Carter's Yankee. We got to get him in studio.
Yeah.
Probably give him a big hug. You know,
what you can
do. Why are you excited about a 220 hitter?
Because he hit 40 bombs.
Aaron Judge is going to do the same thing.
He is. You're right.
Yeah.
It's like this. Say you got like this real nice looking, this unbelievably hot woman, you know what I'm saying? She's put together, whatever, all over the place, you know what I mean? She's nice and sturdy, you know what I'm saying? But her breath is a little tart.
Yeah.
That's Chris Carter.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
So you're not going to kiss her?
Do people kiss anymore?
I'm not going to go too deep into my kissing experience.
Please not. I'm just excited about the possibility of Chris Carter here. This guy's 40 home runs. I'm just excited about him. He's clearly not in the ADP range I'm looking for.
No. He's going to be a little bit lower than that. You know
but
what I'm saying?
Scott, see, you knew that would make me happy, right? Chris Carter, the Yankee. Oh, man, it's going to be great. I'm going to sit on the first base side so I get windy.
So. Yeah, your hat's going to blow off.
Yeah. Okay, now, give me a number, 101 to 150, Scotty.
101.
101, the top, yeah. At the top. Ha, another closure, this is great. Your boy, Scotty, you probably knew this was the guy who was 101. Alex Colomé. Yes, yeah. Alex Colomé. Colomé, he's got a colon, whatever. Alex Colomé. Closer last year for the Rays has a brilliant year. We have seen this before to the Rays. Guys like Fernando Rodney, of course, coming to mind. Hell, Kyle Farnsworth comes to mind. We have seen closers just step in to Tampa Bay, Brad Boxberger, of course, and just have monster years. Now, Scotty, can Alex Colomé do it again? Like, it's very rare we see a closer in Tampa Bay do it back-to-back years, right? Like, it's usually a different guy every single year. Can Colomé do it another year here and really not get traded? Like, what do we expect? How confident are you he keeps this job all year?
I mean, you know, 11.28 strikeouts per nine last year. You know, he's definitely got the stuff. I think, you know, he's going to be the guy to open the season. I know Boxberger is lurking there, so if he slips, you know, that to me, sometimes when a guy's got somebody else breathing down his neck like that, you know, it might spur him on. So I'm going to be very interested to see how he comes out of the gate. But I really feel like, you know, he's got the stuff and he's got the head
to do it.
Well,
we'll get to see how he comes out the gate early, because I believe he's going to be he's a part of the Dominican team at the WBC. So we'll get an early look at the young man.
Yep.
Now, so you know what I mean? So
all goes back around.
He might comes right back around to the WBC all the time, baby. Closing games for the Dominican Republic out there in the WBC. I guess the Dominicans, the DR would be a favorite in this competition. Is that correct?
Yes. They win every year?
I think Cuba's also pretty good too, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I got to study my international baseball. But what I tell you about Colomé, like you said, Brad Boxberger is lurking. But this is a kid with an elite strikeout rate. Probably save you close to 40 games, if not 40 to 45 games this season. So keep the ERA low. He hits all the numbers you want to hit as far as the relief pitcher is concerned. And just sitting up here, like when you Google him and you look at his pitcher, he looks like he has closer mentality. He has that tough guy closer look to him. You know what I'm saying, Scotty?
He does, but we have seen these guys, like I said, in Tampa Bay do it before. And
they ship him away.
Yeah.
And he could end up in the
eighth inning. Jake McGee, here's another one for you.
He could end up in the eighth inning role somewhere. Now, this guy, you look at this guy's grill. This guy has the grill of a closer.
I'm with
him. Grill.
His face, Scott. His
oh,
face.
I thought you meant he barbecued.
No, it's what I'm going to punch you in if you keep it up.
All right. Corey Parsons' funeral arrangements now being made.
I want to ask a very serious question, though. Uh-oh. So you talk about how you said Cuba was good in this, and whatever. I'm not sure if they are or they aren't. But maybe one of the three of you guys at the table can answer this. So Cuba is allowed to participate in WBC. I know we have better relations with Cuba for now. But why don't these guys, if they are interested in defecting, why don't they do it during the WBC, right? Because they're playing on foreign territory. Can't they just kind of disappear? Or are they, like, under extreme watch here? How does this work? Does anybody know?
I'm not sure about that, my foreign policy. Let's look
Greg, you're taking for granted, though, that they don't like Cuba. Like,
well, I see many of them do defect, though.
There are a few, but I think that, you know, they don't wait the 4 years. Like, I think the ones that wanted to get out just get out, you know, whenever it is. Like, they don't have the plan for the World Baseball Classic. I don't know. You would think that they would have guys watching them.
Yeah, I think, but you're probably right. I think you're probably right. I don't know. I've kind of always wondered that in a tournament, because you do see quite a few guys defect here from Cuba.
So this is what we got. We got Australia, Colombia, right. Italy, mm-hmm. The Netherlands. The Netherlands always put up some decent squads, too. We got Canada. That's our boys up there, Anthem Media. We got Cuba. We got Japan. We got Puerto Rico. And that's the Bronx. We got China. The DR, the Dominican Republic. Korea. The United States. Make America great again. We got Taipei. Israel. Mexico and Venezuela. So it might be, what if the finals is like U.S. and Mexico?
Oh, God.
It could be.
That'd be a beast.
It's possible. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
There you go right there. That's the squads right there. So I think you would look, you know what I'm saying, just my knowledge of baseball, I guess you would look at DR, Cuba, and the U.S. and Venezuela as probably like the final four.
U.S. and Dominican Republic are in the same division.
Oh, that makes it tough.
Ooh, he's tougher.
They play in the Saturday night in Miami. I believe it's March 10th.
Cool.
That they'll be playing a game there, and tickets are going for a lot of money.
That's cool.
The ADP desk, ADP roulette, as we'll now call it. That's a hell of a name. I love that name. I'm gonna pick a number since I'll go last.
It's your turn.
It's my turn for final one of the day. I'm gonna go. My birthday's on the 11th. I'll go with 111.
111 is a guy that we'll be talking about coming up.
Oh, really?
In the next year, we'll be talking about him on Old School Fantasy.
Kind of at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Yep. We'll be talking about my girl from FanRack, Jessica Kleinschmidt, is going to join the program. And one of the players that we'll be talking about, she'll be on the panel with us discussing players 25 years old and under.
I love it.
That is Minnesota Twins right fielder Miguel Sano, Greg.
That's
that
not really the right fielder. He's a third baseman.
Okay, well, listen to
the right fielder on
here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Miguel Sano is an interesting one because he's a young player, has a lot of power. We pissed a lot of people off because of how streaky he is, the high strikeouts, the low average. And Scott, when we talked about this last year on this very show, we said, listen, Sano is going to go down in this category. He's going to go up in this category. He's going to go down in this category. And this is the guy you're going to get. So picking him in the second round is probably not smart because you're going to get this. As long as you're happy with this, you'll be happy with him. And Scotty, when it was all said and done, every projection you had was right. Right? Like, Miguel Sano was the guy you thought he would be. So now people are a lot less excited about him. He went from going in the second round to going in the eighth round, for instance, of the FSTA draft. He's number 111, so he's going right around 11th, 12th round here in NFBC. Miguel Sano, are we now too low on him, Scotty, after being too high on him the year before?
Now it's a question of health. And,
okay.
You know, the guy strikes out a ton, too. So, you know, it's another case of sitting along the first baseline and feeling the wind. But, you know, the power potential is still there. So, you know, if that's what you're looking for at that point in the draft, you know, the guy is still young, and, you know, there could still be some value there.
He has good power. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing about the kid, Miguel Sano. I've been hearing his name for a couple years now.
Sure.
The power is good. He's not really going to give you anything else besides the power. So you're looking at, like, a one-category guy. You know what I'm saying? He's going to strike out a ton, whatever. If his plate discipline does not improve, do you think he could be benched?
So I thought that last year. I thought there was a chance last year they would do it, and they didn't. It's still a rebuilding team. I think they need him to be good in order to be good. They need him too much to bench him, I think. Tony, what about you? Where are you on Miguel Sano? An interesting name we haven't spoken about yet this winter. He's one that I think, like, in my league where hit or strike outs count, I don't think I can pull a trigger here because he strikes out way too much. But Miguel Sano, what do you think about him?
Oh, yeah, if you play, that's the whole thing, is knowing the format you play in. If you play in a league that has strikeout negatives and head-to-head, you can't draft this guy. I mean, he strikes out more than every three at-bats, so you got to let this guy go. I think he hits 32 home runs. I think he hits 230, and he's going to get 70, you know, RBIs. But I don't think he'll ever lose his job because they are a young team, as you mentioned.
Sure.
And I just think they'll leave him out there. So I think he can get home runs other places. I just wouldn't draft this guy.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think there's just a little too many negatives. With all the home runs around, there's a lot of home runs to get.
Do you think, as a young player, though, you know what I'm saying, improve his plate discipline in the offseason? Do you think that, you know, do you think this is something that he's stuck with? Like, I'm always going to be this high home run,
right,
high strikeout guy, low average guy, yeah.
Right. Of course you can improve it, right? But I think you need the Babbitt to go the right direction, obviously.
Yeah.
He's not fast, dude. I don't have confidence. I don't have confidence that it's going to improve in a major, major
hits
way.
In the middle of the lineup.
He does. Oh, they, like Tony and I both said, right? Like, he has to be good in order for the Twins to do anything. They need him too much. He's going to hit fourth. So
the problem is, too, I don't think his plate discipline's that bad. I just think he swings and misses a lot because
yeah.
he walks a lot.
Yeah,
yeah, he does walk a lot. I'm looking at that now. So this, I wonder what it is. Why he strike out so much? Maybe he needs glasses.
Maybe. He has a LASIK, right?
Maybe he needs glasses, Scott.
He didn't eat carrots? Is that what you're saying?
We should get him some glasses as a gift from the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I'll tell Chris Carter when he comes in to give it to his buddy Miguel Sanao.
There you go, right
I don't
there.
Even know if they're friends. I don't
think
know
Chris Carter needs glasses, too, he's just saying?
Maybe. Maybe.
That's glasses. To say.
We got the glasses to nerd out here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, maybe we settle everybody. Maybe we settle everybody thing with the glasses. You know what I'm saying? Maybe
glasses.
That's the way to go.
There you go.
If the guys that strike out a lot, if they get glasses,
yeah,
then they'll strike out less.
You know who's probably needs glasses?
Who?
Everybody on the Knicks that plays defense.
That's true.
That doesn't play defense. It's just everybody. They all
everybody walking around looking like Kurt Rambis.
They all need glasses. They all do. And we'll explain when we come back because I watched the Knicks for way too long last night and I threw a headset like Scotty. We'll be back right after this. Time for some NBA action. A lot of games in the NBA last night, and everyone at this table lost money. Yay!
I didn't.
You
I
put didn't in money.
Play.
I didn't participate last night.
But you know what? If you would have, you would have lost money.
You know what? I got a kick out of Cleveland and Washington last night. Like,
it was a hell of a game.
Yeah, I saw amazing. Everybody was on. And, you know, my people up here was like, oh, the Knicks suck. I'm like, I'm not even putting that on.
Right.
So I was getting some stuff done. You know, working and doing some stuff around the crib and all of that, and I threw that
kicking it,
and I threw that Cleveland and Washington on, and I got a kick out of it. How about that? Yeah. Always good when you can get an overtime game because then you get a fifth period of fantasy points for your players, and you don't have to pay extra for them.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I had Beal, and I still didn't cash out. It was interesting with LeBron, like career high 17 assists, and the other interesting thing about it is. In those situations where he had a chance to make a game-winning shot, he was one for his last 17.
And then the shot he gets is stupid.
That was crazy.
It's stupid. So first he travels, like takes four steps. And then he gets a miraculous shot. You know what he said about the travel, by the way? It's actually incredible. Dan Steinberg tweeted this. Dan Steinberg, of course, works in D.C.
That's the guy. That's, what's the name of that blog he does?
The D.C. Sports Blog.
Yeah.
Yeah. LeBron quote on the missed layup. The extra step that I took, which was a travel, threw me off my rhythm.
He said that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was cool. And LeBron hits the miraculous shot to send the game into overtime. Finishes the game with 32-17 with 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals. 42 minutes of action. K-Love also saw 42 minutes of action. Had 39-12.
Big night.
Big night. And Kyrie... only 23-5, which is like a bad night compared to the other two. But Tristan Thompson at 22-12. Good night for him.
But Kyrie also was the one with the dagger. You know what I'm saying?
Dagger!
That is Kyrie Irving. That seems to be something that is a part of his game, that ability to hit those big shots in that moment. Does nothing for you fantasy-wise. Of course, I think in that point, he was one of the guys that was a disappointment in this contest right here. But but Brad Beal, he came through, though. You know what I'm saying, Scotty? Brad Beal,
your boy,
41.
Yeah,
41 last night.
I was reading on Daily Roto last night that, like, you know, that his opponent was like 30. Cleveland was like 30th against defending that position. So it was obviously a great start.
Yeah, Bradley Beal obviously was a good start. I thought John Wall was going to be a good start also. Put up 22-12. Did have 6 turnovers though. Madison Gortat at 16-8. Otto Porter, man, reliable. 5 of 7 from behind the arc last night. Tony, good for 25 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. While Markieff had 15-6.
Yeah, Otto Porter was a guy we've talked about in the Lineup Block Show. Mm-hmm. I thought LeBron James sometimes gets carried away with everything else he has on the basketball court, forgets to play a little defense. And Otto Porter took advantage of that yesterday. And this was an amazing game. If you guys didn't watch this, sometimes in the morning you can get these shows on replays or something. You got to watch this game.
Such a good game. And Interesting enough, all four of the five Cleveland starters played over 40 minutes in this one. I realize they have the five-minute overtime period, but still, that is a lot of minutes for LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving.
They're playing a lot of minutes. And this is, we haven't even hit the All-Star break yet.
So a lot of minutes,
they're playing a lot of minutes, and this is a team that plans on playing late into into June, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, Iman Shumpert was awful last night, by the way.
LeBron is right. They need some help.
They need some help. And we'll see. Supposedly, the rumor late last night was that LeBron wants Melo. He doesn't care what it takes. So, GM LeBron making demands.
He also said last night, though, that his quote last night was that the general manager is that the team has a fine general manager, and if the general manager thinks that the team needs some more help, then the general manager is the guy that'll get that done.
Yeah.
That was his quote.
It was. And when he was talking about the general manager, he was talking about himself.
Did Derrick Rose turn out to be a bad start?
Yeah,
I can see it from the beginning. Like, he was 5,700 on DraftKings, and right. I'm like, this guy looks totally rusty.
As great as that Wizards-Cavs game was. That's how awful the Knicks game was. The Knicks fell. They lost by only losing by 14. But this team looked so absolutely incredibly awful in every facet of the game. If you didn't watch this game, I cannot describe to you how atrocious this team looked, the Knicks. Like, you had the Lakers not even looking where they're going. They're just walking up and putting a layup in. And no one's moving. They're just standing there letting him go by. It was like they were up 30 with 2 minutes left. They're just like, all right, we're not going to foul it, letting the game end. No. This is the first half. It was so pathetic that nobody, like, on the Lakers outside of Lou Williams, like, did it enough to even be profitable in a daily game because they didn't play enough. Julius Randle had 14-2. I feel like it was all in the first half.
The Knicks scored the first 4 points of the game.
And after and they didn't score again.
After that, it was just like they were getting killed. It's like they were so up-tempo. They were getting killed on defense on the fast break. It's like, you know, they got out. There were so many second shots for the Lakers. The offensive
second
board,
shots, third shots, fourth
shots. Fourth shots. Like, at one point, you know, Swaggy, like, even, like, just – there was a rebound that went off Kylo Quinn's head, and he just laid it back in. Offensive rebounds. They were out-rebounded on the offensive board 20-6 last night. It was ridiculous.
Off the cabeza.
Yeah,
so bad. Brandon Ingram started, guys, and Ingram saw 33 minutes, 7 rebounds with his 14 points. Ingram, Tony, is going to be someone you can play cheaply now because they're going to give him the minutes. Is he also someone to pick up in seasonal as well?
Yeah, I would definitely pick him up in seasonal. The one thing, though, I like him in the backcourt than I do where he's playing at the small forward position.
Okay.
He's not going to be able to handle the ball, but he did come up with 7 rebounds. And when he's at the point guard or he's at the two guard, he seems like he's a better fit. That'll happen eventually. There's no way this team's going to keep a Swaggy P and Lou Williams on that team the whole season.
No way. There's just no reason for that to happen.
I should have ran a Lakers stack last night. Damn.
It wouldn't have been good enough.
Larry Nance Jr. was putting on an aerial show last night.
Larry Nance, 31 minutes, 10
looks like
10.
His father last night.
10 and 10 for Larry Nance. So a ton of time with Julius Randle only seeing 17 minutes. For the Knickerbockers, you got 26-5 out of Melo, 16-9 out of Kristaps Porzingis. 16 points for Brandon Jennings, and then off the bench, 8-13 for Willie Hernan Gomez.
Derrick Rose in his 31 minutes was a complete dog. I know we've mentioned it already, but I'm looking at the box score right now.
This is bad.
Yeah, you know, like you
you're
know,
just looking at the box score.
Looking at the
you didn't have to watch.
It's like it's a red by his like by his name is red. Like it means this guy sucked last night. Stop right here before you hurt
and
your
they
eyes.
Were they were saying that they try to keep Hernan Gomez and you know on the same unit with like they didn't start Hernan Gomez because they wanted him on the same unit with Brandon Jennings. Brandon Jennings like I felt like was the only guy who showed up to play last night.
I agree with that. Willie Hernan Gomez did too. Those two guys are the only ones.
Brandon Jennings is always going to play hard against the Los Angeles teams.
It's true. Brandon Jennings is
I think he really appreciates
solid.
Being in New York.
I agree with that.
We should get him in studio and ask him how's the vibe in the clubhouse. We should see if he wants to hang out with us.
Scotty, how powerful are you that you did not go to that game?
Yeah, I tried to get a credential last night. The Knicks told me they didn't have room. I had to call and send him a thank you note.
The Bulls defeated the Kings last night, 112-107, throwback game. So I was playing a DFS contest, one of those intermediate head-to-heads, and the guys, both people I was facing had Dwayne Wade. I'm like, all right, Dwayne Wade, whatever. 31-6 later, Greg lost money. Michael Carter Williams at 21-6-4, once again getting the start without Jimmy Butler. So without Jimmy Butler, Michael Carter Williams is coming to play, Tony.
This is the problem with DFS when they change the rules, and you can't have late swaps. This is really the problem here, because people that put in multiple teams were able to take a chance that Jimmy Butler wasn't going to play. Yeah. We thought he wasn't going to play, but it wasn't confirmed. So if you put in 20 teams, you could put a team in with Michael Carter-Williams and Dwayne Wade, because they were obvious plays if Jimmy Butler was not going to play.
Yep, and that's why I lost. This is rude. It wasn't very nice of them, to be honest with you. In this game, you also saw Robin Lopez of 17. Taj Gibson had 13. Jerry Grant also had 13. For the Kings, Boogie gets thrown out. It's been a while since he got thrown out. So, good job, Boogie. 18-14 for him in 38 minutes. He was 3 of 9 behind the arc. He's already had his 15th and 16th technical fouls.
Already?
Which means he is suspended for Wednesday's game.
Against the Celtics.
But does this guy has that? I mean, before the All-Star break? Does he get to reset? Or
No.
He's a wild dude, Joe.
He should buy one back.
Can you imagine this guy's his fines, his tab and fines?
It's crazy because against Boston, he would have been such an absurdly popular play in Daly. Now it's all going to be about the like host of the Kufis. And Willie Cauley-Stein would probably be a good play.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the guy that I like is the hot dog vendor. Like, if DeMarcus Cousins is pissed off and somewhere around there, I always root the hot dog vendor to get, please get out of the way.
Yeah, it's nice of you.
He's going to do something. He's going to do something mean to somebody someday.
Ty Lawson at 22-7.
It's interesting you bring that up with my background.
Oh.
Vendor.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
Yes. Yeah, I never felt threatened by a player, but I did get knocked over by an NBA player once when I was a man.
But you never,
oh, really?
Yes. You were never there with Boogie Cousins playing the game, though.
No. Tony, do you remember James Edwards of the Phoenix Suns?
Yes.
Yes. I was walking. I didn't do hot dogs. I did souvenirs at the Garden.
Always goes back to this.
And I was carrying my flags and my programs, and James Edwards ran for a loose ball, and he smashed into me. And I got up, and the crowd gave me a standing ovation.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I wish you'd had the hot dogs. The water would have went all over the place.
No, my flags went all over the place. My programs, everything.
James Edwards, for the people out there, was 7'1", 225.
Wow. Yep. Those are pretty big dudes, guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
you would have liked them.
Can we contact Madison Square Garden Network to see if there's footage of this?
I would probably contact the Phoenix Suns.
Yo, you should. They should have hazard pay for vendors. You know what I'm saying? Because anytime you get run over by a dude that's 7'1", 235 pounds, that's tough right there. Good job, Scotty. Give me that, because I know Scotty was right back at the ballpark at the stadium the next day.
Right? I got right back up and started selling. I got a standing ovation.
There you go.
When you got knocked out, and did your stuff go everywhere and people steal it?
No. Although, and I don't want to get too off track here, though. It's like when I worked the concerts, people would steal from you. But it wasn't the concert you expect. I worked at Run DMC. Nothing happened, right? Yeah. Like everybody's like, don't work that concert. It's terrible, you know? I got people stealing T-shirts from me at a Phil Collins show.
Taking them T-shirts always, back to Long Island.
Throwing his friends.
What's wrong with Phil Collins?
I'm just saying, you wouldn't expect a Phil Collins crowd to be a bunch of thieves.
But I thought what
but
he
you
did
would
say
expect a Run DMC crowd?
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is, I don't. I was told, don't work certain concerts because, you know, don't work a Judas Priest, don't work a Run DMC, and I never had a problem with those shows.
But Phil Collins.
Phil Collins was like the one where I got ripped off.
Because they're all feeling in the air tonight, Scotty.
Yeah, you know what happened, though, when I worked Madonna? I would have the girls dressed up in like this was like
a virgin,
like a virgin tour, dressed up like Madonna, trying to flirt with me for a T-shirt.
I probably would have given him a t-shirt, to be honest with you.
I did. Yeah. I found out it was a mistake, because once you give him the t-shirt, you know,
they're done. It's done. Nothing comes of it.
Yeah.
Right. That's why you gotta get the make the goods first.
Yeah, I know. Sure. I was only 18. I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, you know now. Scott, these are the wise words you have to impart on your son.
My son's already wiser than that. Yeah.
There you go. We'll come back. 3 games tonight on the slate. We'll break them down for you. And tell you an old school fantasy. Come up next. You're the Roto Experts. Final few minutes here of the program. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 3 games on the slate for you tonight. You got the Charlotte Hornets at home against Brooklyn, Houston at home against Orlando, and Dallas at home against Portland. 3 actually good games to target here, Tony, in DFS.
Yeah, tonight, though, 3 game slate. It makes it a little tough, a little less enjoyable for me. And the problem with this one, right, is that we get the first game at 7, and then you got to wait, and you got to hope that 8:30, any information like Deron Williams will be a big topic of whether he's going to play or not, because that'll affect Yogi Ferrell. So hopefully we have that information prior to that. Well, it's going to be tough to go in and target that game. And when you look at that game, it does have the lowest total at night, but a guy like Yogi Ferrell or Deron Williams will really cultivate where we're going to do with the guard position.
It's crazy the discrepancy, guys. You have James Harden, who's obviously extremely highly priced tonight, and then the drop-off to the next guy, which at least on FanDuel is Kemba Walker, is $4,000. Like, that is a monster number, monster difference here.
It's a huge number, but you look at it, there's no other way. I mean, this game, the highest total. James Harden's a guy that puts up big, big numbers. The Orlando Magic don't defend guards well. And then Kemba Walker gets to play against the Brooklyn Nets. So it's crazy.
It's crazy. And you got to figure out a way to get all these guys in there. And like I said, all the games to me, or all 3 games, I should say, look at games like I want to target. Like, I think there's a lot to like in every game tonight, which makes it fun, Scotty.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, that's what makes it fun for me. It's like, I only had one player in like last night's Nick game, and he stunk. So.
Yeah, it was brutal. I lost Taylor, whatever. All right, so let's start with point guard position. What's the move tonight?
Tonight at point guard, depending on the site you play at, of course, James Harden, whether you use him at point guard or shooting guard, he's definitely got in a 3-game slate, you got to put him in your lineup. You got to figure out a way to go ahead and do that, because if he puts up 65, 70 points, and you can't compete with that. So if he can't go there, I think the other guy to go with, Kemba Walker, you pointed out, but Patrick Beverley, his running mate, the third worst team in the NBA against point guards, I go with Patrick Beverley to save a little money. You could use Harden and Beverley if you wanted there.
Yep.
Then you move on to shooting guard. You got 2 options here, of course, other than James Harden, Nicholas Batum. In that one, they're second to worst in the league at covering 2 guards. Evan Fournier has been a streaky player. He's been playing banged up, but his price is down to $5,600. I think it's a strong play.
All right, there you go. At the small forward position, there's nobody that's even remotely high priced, right? Like, Harrison Barnes is the most. He's not even $7,000 on FanDuel. You have Barnes, you have Trevor Ariza against Orlando. Not really much out here to like. Maybe Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Bojan Bogdanovic. I mean, there's nothing to like here.
Yeah, so Brooklyn's the worst team in the league against small forwards, so Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is a guy who could play second highest total, but I'll probably spend the money on Aaron Gordon. They're third worst in the league against small forwards, and his price is $4,600. I'll probably save a little money there and use Aaron Gordon.
All right, at the power forward position, there's literally nobody over $6,000 here. Serge Ibaka, Dirk Nowitzki, and Ryan Anderson are the highest priced players at the position tonight.
I like Harrison Barnes. The only problem is they have the second lowest team total of the night, the 8th worst team against power forwards. He'll be playing the power forward position tonight. $6,400 on DraftKings, $6,900 on FanDuel. I would go there.
Okay.
I have a little consideration for Marvin Williams if you're playing on DraftKings. His salary is $4,600, and on FanDuel is $5,400.
A lot of the question could be, though, the status of Cody Zeller tonight, right? Like, he had that quad injury, didn't play on Saturday. Frank Kaminsky got the start there. So a lot of concern with Marvin Williams, with Frank Kaminsky. A lot of those questions could be revolving around Cody Zeller. And the good news is, that game is the first tip-off of the night.
Yeah, I think Zeller will be out tonight, and I think he'd play Frank Kaminsky.
Okay.
At the center position or power forward, depending on the site you play at. Nikolai Vukovic is a nice play tonight at $6,800 and $6,900, respectively. And Dirk Nowitzki's a guy that I never want to play, but it's not a bad play tonight at 54 to 5,000. And I never play him, but I'm leaning to Nikolai Vukovic.
Yeah, I think Vucevic is probably my favorite center tonight also. Unfortunately, I got to make some changes here because I don't have enough money to fill the lineup. So we'll figure that out here today. Scott, you said you're going to get back in the mix tonight?
I do believe I'll get back in the mix tonight, yes.
Anybody that you're looking at that comes to mind?
No, it's just like listening to you guys and then kind of putting it together.
Your
it's
own
like,
spin.
You know, to be honest with you, you know, I don't have the experience in this area that you guys do.
Sure.
It's like, you know, I'll listen to what Tony and Benny say, and then, you know, I'll go on Daily Roto, and I really like their tool. It's like, you know, it really helps me build my lineup.
There you go. Old School Fantasy comes your way next. Corey, what do we got on the show today?
Old School Fantasy. I got homegirl, Jessica Kleinfeld, will be joining the program.
Beautiful.
From Fan Rag. She's going to join the panel of experts.
Love it.
With the King, Scott Engel, and George Kurtz. We're going to talk about some players that are 25 years and younger, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
or younger, coming up approaching opening day. We're going to look at some of the young guys. And then also, we got some milestones that are going to be hit this upcoming MLB season. So we'll talk about some of the milestones and what we can expect from those players that are approaching those milestones. That's what's coming up on Old School Fantasy in about 4 minutes.
Yeah, Corey Parson, Scott Engel, Tony Sicada, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Bye-bye, everybody.